that have been called now prophecies, N-O-W. That is, they can happen at any second, any moment. Then we have prophecies in the Bible that are next prophecies. In other words, things must precede them before they happen. The rapture is not a now prophecy, it's a next prophecy. And I believe many churches do a disservice to their people by not making that clear to them. They do not help them to watch for the Lord to come back. In fact, by preaching error, you actually can stumble the faith of people who are looking for the Lord to fulfill His word. And so we have to be careful that we know when the trumpet's going to sound. The trumpet is not going to sound, and you can't look for it if you don't know that Stygian darkness is going to happen just before it appears. Did you know that? It's going to be so dark, you're not going to see the hand in front of your face. And there's going to be tsunamis just before. Men's hearts will fail them. They'll have heart attacks just before the rapture. And there will be a bright shining light that lights out of the darkness. And then you'll hear the trumpet and the voice of the archangel. The voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And you can't look for the trumpet if you don't know that. If you don't know what leads up to that. You can't properly look, and you can't intelligently look if you think that it's a now prophecy with nothing preceding it. And you're going to be caught by surprise, and your faith will be stumbled. Mark it down. Take it to the bank. I'm not afraid to declare that boldly to you. And so I've been preaching for the last 15 years about some prophecies that I believe will not only precede the rapture, but precede the 70th week. And we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, what is the super sign that we're in the last days? And I know that you know that. What is it, Joe? The gathering together of Israel as a nation back to their land. Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 37. Gathering them back in unbelief. Gathering them back before they get saved and accept the Lord as their Messiah. And we have lived to see that. And a lot of my lifetime is really in tandem out to that. And in 1967, when I got saved, Israel recaptured the old city of Jerusalem. And that was something else that has to happen before Israel can rebuild their temple, which that's going to happen before the rapture if you study and read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You'll know that. So I'm just saying that you need to know prophecy. Prophecy is 1/4 of the Bible. You are in a church that I believe has been blessed of God in a unique, in a signal way to teach the prophetic word of God. I believe that with all of my heart. And I thank God for it. And that you and I are seeing these things play out. That's why, you know, when things happen in Israel, Israel is God's timepiece. When things happen in Israel, it should grab your attention. Especially if they are significant to what's written in the prophetic word of God. And since I am watching for the Lord to come back, and that's what I'm doing, and since I love His appearing, and therefore I am going to be stirred by events in Israel to preach on these things. Now, maybe you don't get into that. Well, you need to get right with God. There's an altar right here for you. I said you need to get right with God. And because you're supposed to love His appearing. You're supposed to be eagerly watching for his appearing. You're to be groaning for his appearing. If you think this world is all that is cracked up to be, just live a little while like I did, and you'll find out it's not. We live in a present evil world. Our bodies groan, and I want to see some things change. And it's not going to really change until Jesus comes back. So we're watching. And we mentioned in our Eastern time, but I'll go to Israel's time, October the 7th, there was an attack from Gaza, from Hamas, from the area where the ancient Philistines were, upon Israel. And we mentioned that that looked a lot like Ezekiel 25, verses 15 through 17, and a lot like Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, when it mentions Gaza, when it mentions the Mediterranean Sea, when it mentions Israel attacking them and leveling that area, and that is what is playing out right now. That very well may be a fulfillment that's happening right now of those particular prophecies. And then we talked about Psalm 83, and we talked about that is a prophecy that could happen anytime when the enemies of Israel, that are the inner ring of nations, now Islamic nations, who are their bitter enemies, they want to cut them off from being a nation. They want them out of the land, and they are going to gather around and conspire to attack them. And that is Lebanon and Hezbollah and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And that is the people that are Islamic people down in the Sinai. And even Egypt will join in. And then Syria and other nations like Iraq and even the Saudis get involved in this, and Jordan. And so if this is the fulfillment of Psalm 83 that we've already been preaching on, if that is a fulfillment of it, then you can look for this war to expand. And if it even has a temporary halt or ceasefire, if it is the fulfillment of Psalm 83, it will expand, and all of these people will be riled up to attack this, and so forth and so on. So we're looking at these now prophecies, and these now prophecies involve not only Psalm 83, but they involve an attack upon what Israel calls the head of the snake. Can one of the men tell me, what is the head of the snake?
Iran.
And what specifically in Iran would that be? Well, you know it, what it is. It is the nuclear sites where they are developing nuclear weapons. And I heard from Bill Salas that in ancient Elam, which is western central Iran, Iran has ICBM missiles ready to launch. They can reach Israel in just over 6 minutes. And it says in Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39, that Iran is going to be hit before they can launch those missiles at the chief of their might. And what is the chief of their might? The nuclear tipping of those missiles. And Bill Salas said 2 weeks before October the 7th, 2023, when Hamas hit, and Hamas are one of the proxies of Iran, the snake, the head of the snake, they got to the point where they were 80% plus of fissionable material, and they wanted to fast track getting a nuclear weapon so they can tip those ICBM missiles. So that, can you imagine if Hamas would have hit Israel and they already had nuclear weapons on their ICBMs? You see, Israel took out the nuclear reactor in 1981 in Iraq at Ozkirk. Israel took out the nuclear reactor in Syria after that. Israel has taken out two nuclear weapons developed, one by Syria and then earlier by Iraq under Saddam. And what do you think they're going to do with Iran? Well, Jeremiah 49 says they're going to take it out, and they may have others with them. Maybe Europe and the United States, I don't know. But they're going to come from the four winds. It will be an air attack, and it will cause a nuclear disaster in Iraq. And these nuclear sites are built upon big fault lines. And to hit them would cause a nuclear disaster. And the Bible says the people of Iran will go all over the world and escape that regime, that wicked Islamic regime that's over there. And do you know Iranian Christians are praying for that, the fulfillment of that prophecy? Well, that is another now prophecy. And all of this is going to go together, and as part of this war that we're talking about, you have Isaiah 17, verse 1, which is that Israel, according to verse 9 of Isaiah 17, it will be Israel, will blow up Damascus, no doubt with a nuclear bomb, and that city, which is the longest historical continuing city, it's never been destroyed, will become a ruinous heap. Overnight. And then the Bible goes on to talk about Jeremiah 49:2, that Amman Jordan, Rabbah there, which is Amman Jordan, will be blown up and will cease to exist. And so these are what we call now prophecies. They could happen at any time. They could break upon us at any time. And in point of fact, it may be on October the 7th that they are in the beginning stages right now, that this war is the first time that Israel has declared war upon its enemies in how long? They declared a war on Hamas. Dr. Luke, how long has it been?
50 years.
Is that older than you, Luke? Yeah. That's a little older than Luke. That's a long time for guys, even older than you. To me, it's just a little bit of time. But anyway, it's something I've been watching for. And watching these things and warning people, get out of these places. Warning people, don't be in these places. Why? Because prophecy has a practical benefit too, doesn't it? If you think about it. And so these are what we call now prophecies, and I got that from Bill Salas, and I like that the way he put that. And now I want to look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is a next prophecy. And we've already started this. I believe it was last Wednesday. We looked at the purpose for Ezekiel 38 and 39, for God allowing that war. Because after Israel wins this Psalm 83 war, after these prophecies that I've just mentioned, these now prophecies, there's going to be an Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. A lot of people think this is it right now. And if I'm wrong and they're right, it is. But I want to show you tonight, I think I'm right scripturally, that it's not a now prophecy, Ezekiel 38, 39. It's rather a next prophecy. And I want to prove that to you. But I want to say to you that it is something that's coming. You say, how long after Israel wins that war and defeats the inner core of nations that are right around them? And by the way, let me ask this. Why? What is the motive for this inner core of Islamic nations that I just mentioned previously, like Lebanon and Hezbollah and Hamas and Jordan and Egypt and Syria and all these nations? What is their purpose, Brother Jose Valley?
To remove their name as a nation off the earth.
Very good. They want them out of the Middle East. Isn't that apparent right now? That's what's going on. From 1948, they have been trying to get them out of the Middle East. They want them out of there. They say, we don't want a two-state solution. We want to go from the river to the sea. That means from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea. One state, a Palestinian state. No Jews. Get rid of the Jews. And I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. And have you noticed it? Anti-Semitism. It's the greatest in my lifetime.
That's right.
Now, why is that important? Can somebody tell me why that's important when we study prophecy, that anti-Semitism is coming out on the rise?
The one world government.
The one world government, that it will be a goal of the beast to cut off the Jews, and he is going to set up his image with the Jewish Antichrist in the temple in Jerusalem and cut off their monotheism. They're going to worship him or die. And God's going to use that. And so this is a sign. By the way, another sign, years ago, to get a computer back in the 60s is when all this computer happened. Anybody know the computers? It all started because of the space race. We didn't think this was going to happen when the space race started, but it all started with computer. It completely changed our world. I grew up in a pre-computer world. I'm a baby boomer. We didn't have computer. But then we saw the computers, and at one time it would take a whole house. A computer would be as big as a whole house if you were going to have every person in the world on a database. But now it's a piece of cake. You could put it on a desktop, a computer that would control every person on earth. And they will not have permission to buy or sell without that computer being entered. And to enter that, you know, everybody's got a number, my social security number, 366, blah, 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 blah. And then if you just put before that 666, you have to have the prefix 666 before your number. Everybody have their own individual number, but you got to have 666. But how do you get 666? You won't get 666 unless you acknowledge this man to be God. If you won't do that, you won't get the 666. You say, well, I don't need the 666. Well, you'll need it to buy or sell legally. You will not be able to buy or sell medicine, food, anything without that prefix. And so that is what Revelation 13 talks about, that is now technologically possible, you see? And so these things that were prophesied 2,000 years ago in your lifetime have come to be. And you can watch now in Israel on television. And I lived before Telstar. I lived before they had satellites. You could not see a person over the ocean, over the pond, in live time, like is going to happen in the book of Revelation, like it talks about. It's amazing. And so we're watching for the Lord to come back. And the good news about that is, yes, things are going to get worse before they get better. But thank God they're going to get a whole lot better when Jesus comes back. And there's going to be 1,000 years of the world being, the planet being like it was before the curse. Because the curse will be lifted during the 1,000 years from the earth. So everything will grow good, and the lion and the lamb will lie down, and the animals won't eat one another. It's awesome to think about. And that is coming. We're getting closer to these prophecies, and we're watching for them. And so we're talking about this prophecy that will happen, I believe, after Psalm 83 and Jeremiah 49. It is the next prophecy. And we said last week that there is a purpose for God. There is a purpose for God letting Israel be attacked by Russia, by Turkey, by all these former Soviet Union states that are Islamic, and by reconstituted Iran, and by North African nations. And they're going to come in with hundreds of thousands. and overwhelm the Israeli army. The Israeli army has one of the top armies in the world, and they're going to win the Psalm 83 war, but not this one. They cannot handle it. The army's just going to sweep in there from these nations. And it will take an intervention of God. And we said God's going to allow that. And the purpose for the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war is what? What is the reason? Hosea again, let's get it.
That men may know his name, Jehovah.
Amen. That men may know his name is Jehovah. And that means he's the God of Abraham, the God of Ishmael, and the God of Esau, right?
No.
Right? No. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David. All right? The Hebrews. That's who he's the God of. Salvation is of what?
The Jews.
The Jews. Does that mean every Jew is saved? No. Does that mean every Jew is going to receive the gospel and love you and kiss you? No. They're enemies, many cases, for the gospel, Paul said, his own people. But they're still the elect people of God, chosen by God, that he is going to bring the Savior through them. And when that nation accepts Jesus Christ, which according to Hosea 6:2 will be on a specific day, specific time, when they accept the Lord, one third of them will survive the next Holocaust and the day of the Lord's wrath. But when they accept their Messiah, then and only then will the kingdom of God come to the earth. When you get saved, the kingdom of God doesn't come to the earth. I thank God when you get saved or others get saved, Gentile. But you do not bring in the kingdom of God. And don't you ever forget that, my friend. And any pastor that forgets that, he's on the wrong side of understanding God's foreign policy. Because God told Abraham, them that bless you, I'll bless. They that curse you, I'll curse. So I want to just bless Israel right now.
Amen.
Lord, I bless the apple of your eye right now.
Amen.
And I want to say that. And Russia and its allies and Turkey and its allies make a huge mistake when they attack Israel. And God is going to glorify the name of Jehovah. And many people, including the Jewish people, will begin to really see, you know what? This is not just Zionism. This is God.
Amen.
This is Jehovah God. You know, people say, oh, they're just a bunch of Zionists over there. And Alex Jones has people on that say that. Oh, phooey on that. Hogwash, Alex. You ought to know better. You ought not to have people on there saying that. It's not just Zionism. It is Zion. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign over the world on his holy hill in Zion. It's a literal place. And it's going to be the highest hill. And the nations are going to flow into it for 1,000 years. You see, I'm telling you the God's honest truth right out of the scripture. And I make no apology for it. Now, I know we're living in a day when truth is not appreciated. I know we're living in a day when freedom of speech is not appreciated. But I'm an American. I believe in the Bill of Rights. I believe in it. And even if I don't live in America, I'd rather obey God than man. And that's how America became America, right? We had people like Patrick Henry who said, give me liberty or give me death. But we talked last week about the purpose of this Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, and Brother Jose just said it. Tonight, I want to just get into the perspective of the war. And we've already done that to a degree because we talked about these now prophecies that are right now playing out. They've gone from the parchment and they're starting to roll out on the pavement right now. Psalm 83, we've talked about Isaiah 17, Jeremiah 49, and so forth and so on. You look for these things. You watch for these things. And then the fulfillment of these now prophecies when there's this inner ring of Islamic enemies that will result in Israel defeating them. And I want to show you why I believe that Ezekiel 38 and 39 and the war of Gog and Magog against Israel will be after Psalm 83, after the now prophecies of war, after the inner ring of nations is defeated by Israel. First of all, because those nations aren't mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It doesn't mention Egypt. It doesn't mention Syria. It doesn't mention the Palestinians, the tents of Esau. It doesn't mention Jordan. It doesn't mention Iraq. It doesn't mention any of these nations that we just mentioned that are in Psalm 83. Why wouldn't they be there if they are Islamic and they hate Israel? They're gone. They've been defeated. Israel possesses their land. And we said the purpose of Psalm 83 and the nations attacking, but the purpose of Russia and its allies, who are mainly Islamic outer ring of nations, attacking Israel, is not to cut them off from being in the promised land. That's not their main reason. Does anybody know their main reason? Well, think about it. We'll get into it. Brother Jose Valley says he knows. We'll get into it. But I want to say this, that look at with me Ezekiel 38 and verse 12. Ezekiel 38 and verse 12. Here's what it said. No, don't do that yet. Brother Jose, tell me why they're going to attack.
They want the wealth of Israel.
They want the wealth of Israel. Now, is Israel that wealthy right now? They're wealthy, but they're not that wealthy. But they're fixing to get really wealthy. After this Psalm 83 war, they're going to get really wealthy. And you know, one of the downfalls of having a lot of money is people get jealous of you. And they want your money. And so when Israel gets blessed by God, and remember they have the Abrahamic covenant, which is they are God's people who are blessed by God with earthly benefits and earthly blessings. Unlike the church has heavenly blessings. We can't necessarily say we're going to be blessed with wealth when we get saved. God can bless us and he can take it. It's in his hands. But Israel, they have the Abrahamic covenant, a blessing, and they're going to become exceedingly wealthy. Now listen, if I were an Islamic person worshiping a fake god called Allah, and I were squatting upon the promised land of the Jewish people, I would not be anti-Semitic. I would invite them in. Because if you bless Israel, you're going to be blessed.
Right. Right.
Do you know Israel has more right to the land where Syria is, where Saudi Arabia is, where Iraq is, where Lebanon is, where Jordan is? They have more right than you and I do to have California or Kentucky or any other state in the United States. Where in the Bible does it say we get to have that land? Now, I know in history it was called manifest destiny. And it may very well have been, but it's not in the Bible.
Right.
Israel is in the Bible. God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not you, Isaac, but Isaac, he promised them a land from the Mediterranean Sea all the way to the Euphrates River, from Dan to Beersheba, Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. He said, that's your land. David conquered that land. Solomon reigned over that all that land. God's given it to Israel in the past, and he's fixing to do it again. Even before the kingdom. And so this is going to give them great wealth, and they are going to be the envy of these people who are going to attack them and try to take over all of that wealth. And that's in verse 12 of Ezekiel 38. I'll read it. You hear it. It says that these attackers come from Turkey and Russia and so forth to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people which are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Oh my, that is going to be quite a time of wealth. Now, listen, after Israel won the 1967 war, in 6 days, people got the idea, wow, Jehovah God is blessing these people. But Israel, they gained land in the Sinai. They took over the whole Sinai Peninsula. They took over the Golan Heights. They took over the old city of Jerusalem and so forth. But they gave that back, especially the Sinai. They just kept giving it back. And it led to the Psalm, it led to other wars. Now, Israel has given this land back, but this time they're not giving it back. They're going to keep it. And they're going to possess it, because they're going to say, that's it. These people have been an existential threat. We're going to take this land and we're going to keep this land. And that's actually better. That's actually better, because they have more freedom than these people. And so that will be a blessing to see that happen. And they're going to be very, very rich. Now, a second reason why I believe this is a next prophecy and not a now prophecy is not only because of that, but next Israel, when this war takes place, is living in security. Israel is living in security. I want you to look at verse 11 with me. It says, and thou shalt say, I will go to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Now let me ask you a question. This attack that happened on October the 7th, when these women were killed, babies beheaded, women raped, hostages taken, would you say that the people of Israel feel very secure? Would you say that the people in the north, where Hezbollah has 150,000 missiles and just shot off about 4,000 missiles at Israel, would you say they feel very safe there? In fact, unless Hezbollah is wiped out and the threat of Hezbollah is wiped out, I've heard people on the ground in Israel saying, we're not going to go back to the north and we're not going to live up there if our government doesn't take care of that threat. So that doesn't sound like, to me, present day Israel. And not only that, but not only are they not secure and safe in the land, but how about this? They are not unwalled villages. Do you know, going right through, Brother Joe, the center of Israel, there is a wall that is 20 feet high and is filled with concrete. You know how long it is? About 403 miles long. That doesn't sound like unwalled. And there are walls in the Gaza Strip. Do you know that's why all these tunnels were built? They were trying to go under the walls and trying to deal with the walls, because Israel had all these security walls up. Do you know that there are walls between Israel and Jordan? Do you know that there are walls in the north by Lebanon to protect Israel? In fact, can I say this to you this evening? Israel is probably the most walled up country in the world. Good to God we had some walls. Good to God. But the Western globalists got rid of Trump. And by the way, don't believe that it's just stuffing ballot boxes. This last election was full of voter fraud. And I've been watching it now and finding it out. You look at Mike Lindell, he's done some tremendous research on this. They stole votes from people, amazingly. And they're doing it through Dominion voting machines. They are totally, they've got you under Dominion. Unless that gets cast out, it's done. And so Israel is walled up, and the Bible says that it's going to be a land of unwalled villages when this attack takes place of Ezekiel 38 and 39 with Russia and Turkey and the stands, the former Soviet Union. Why would it be unwalled? Can one of the men tell me, why would there be no walls? Why would they be safe and secure, be surprised? Brother Bobby, why would it be if they're so walled up?
Because from the river to the sea, it's all Israel.
No need to walk. Amen. From the river to the sea, it's all Israel. It's not Palestine, it's Israelistine. They own it all. And therefore, they're going to let down their guard. Their enemies are not a threat anymore. They're not going to have to deal with Palestinian terrorists and all the rest. They're going to become exceedingly wealthy. They're going to have peace and security. And not only this, I just saw something else in verse 12 that I didn't put in my notes, but I should have. And I'm going to say it to you right on the cuff here, and we're going to have to stop here. But let me just give you verse 12. It says in verse 12, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited. We know that, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. We know that's happened, amen. The Jews have come back to their land, which have gotten cattle and goods. But we don't have this, that dwell in the midst of the land. What's the land? The land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River, from Dan to Beersheba. Are they dwelling in the middle of that land? No. They're only as big as the state of New Jersey. And even that they've had parts carved out of. That little area that they're just squeezed into. They're not dwelling, and the Hebrew word there for the midst is the very middle of the land, right in the dead center. If you take a map of the actual promised land, where they're dwelling now is not the middle of that. They have to win that Psalm 83 war and have what Bobby said, the land all the way from the Mediterranean Sea to the river Euphrates, from the river to the sea. They have to have all that land. Then the middle of the land would be where the nation of Jordan is right now. That will be the middle of Israel then. So you see, for this Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, there has to be that border that you see up there before you. Look at Israel, even takes a chunk out of Egypt, so it's going to go from the Nile River all the way to the Euphrates River. Do you see that? And they'll be dwelling in the midst of land. See, the middle of that is Jordan today? That's where they're going to be when this takes place. And that's why Benjamin Netanyahu, I believe, said it right when he talked about this Hamas invasion from Gaza. He said, this is going to change the whole map of the Middle East. And it is.
Thank you, Lord.
And it is. You be watching for it. Now, I'm going to wrap it up here because we're out of time. But listen to me, and I'll finish this up. But listen to me. You and I need to be watching for Jesus Christ to come back. You and I should love His appearing. I can say to you, my conscience before God, I do love His appearing. And I'm watching eagerly for it. And these prophecies, and my study of these prophecies, help me. You go into these churches that don't understand these prophecies, and are they really preaching on the second coming? I know the early pre-tribbers did it back in the Niagara Conference days and back in the Schofield. They were excited because they were seeing new things. But as we get closer now, if they've rejected this, they're not getting that help to watch. And they're not getting that help when it comes to prophecy. Quite the contrary. We've been studying the book of Revelation in Sunday school all year. You know that people are going to be taken by surprise when all of a sudden the beast has his temple put, his image put up in the temple by the Jewish Antichrist, and they're going to be like, hey, we're not supposed to see this. What is this? It's going to freak them out. But if you know what's happening, you know what's happening. You could trust God. You need to know. You need to know so you can watch intelligently. And I intend to preach the Word of God to help you to get ready. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. And we've been talking about this next prophecy, this